The Mutual Broadcasting System presents Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Here's a mutual note for you. Tune to Mutual any evening for Hollywood star-studded entertainment to make your stay-at-home nights a pleasure. You can enjoy light-hearted romantic comedy with Woman of the Year, starring Betty Davis and George Brent. Thrill to the realistic picture of police operations on Crime Does Not Pay. And listen as Orson Welles narrates the stories behind the actual crime mementos in Scotland Yard's Black Museum. Your favorite Dr. Duet comes your way with Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore in The Story of Dr. Kildare. And there are hour-long productions of famous Hollywood hits on the MGM Musical Comedy Theater, as well as the MGM Theater of the Air. Errol Flynn stars in The Modern Adventures of Casanova, Ann Southern in The Hilarious Adventures of Maisie, and Mickey Rooney and Lewis Stone in The Hardy Family. Music, too, is yours for the listening with the one and only Music Hall favorite, Gracie Fields. It's fun to stay home evenings when you stay tuned for Mutual's Hollywood star shows. Hear them all over most of these stations. The steamer Yukon Queen was due to dock at Dawson in 3 days. One member of the crew knew that he would never again see the Yukon port. His name was Sullivan, but everyone called him Old Jim. Old Jim lay on his bunk, his fingers plucking at the blanket. 25-year-old Jack Barton was at his side.
Jack, you've been good to an old man. I reckon you're the only friend I got.
Oh, that's not true, Jim. Everyone's your friend.
No. Oh, no. I'm alone in the world. No kin of any sort. No one but you to leave my gold mine.
Oh, sure. Sure thing, Jim.
I'm not fooling. My brother Jake, he discovered it in the Yukon. Then he returned to the States with a map to get me so as we could share it.
What? A map?
Just listen, Jack. Just listen to me.
Well, sure, Jim.
Jake died and... Now it's too late for me to use the map. Mm-hmm. I want you to have it. Trying to get it out of my pocket. Here it is. Take it, Jake.
Hey, Jim, I... Oh, no. Now take it easy. Take it easy, Jim.
Jack Barton placed an arm beneath the thin shoulders and lifted old Jim to a sitting position.
It's gonna be all right.
During critical moments, while the dying man fought for air, the cabin door was opened softly. Neither Jack nor old Jim knew it.
I gotta get air. Tell you how to find the gold mine out.
At the mention of gold, the cabin door was closed even more silently than it had been opened. The ferret-faced man who closed it remained inside the cabin. He stood against the wall and fingered a knife drawn from his belt.
Easy, does it, Jim. Easy now. Easy.
I thought that was going to be it. Jack, listen close. You have the map.
Yes, Jim.
You'll need more than the map to find the gold claim. Take that map to the town of Ogilvy.
Ogilvy?
Show it to Hanford. Peter Hanford. Two of you, stake the claim. Share the gold mine. You understand?
Yes, Jim. Pete Hanford at Ogilvy.
Jack, behind you!
Huh? Lennox, what are you doing here?
Let go of me!
You sneaking eavesdropper! You've been listening to what old Jim said.
Oh, no.
Don't lie. How long have you been in this cabin?
I don't know. I didn't mean no harm, Jack.
Did you hear what old Jim said about a gold mine? Did you?
Jack, listen to me, please. I couldn't help overhearing him. I'll help you look for the gold mine. Let me work with you.
Not a chance. I don't want anything to do with you, Lennox. I just remember this. You forget everything you heard, you understand?
Oh, yeah. Sure thing, Jack.
You breathe a word of what old Jim told me, I'll kill you. Get out. It's a good thing you saw him, Jim. Jim. So long, Jim. So long.
The thin-faced man named Lennox was the first to leave the Yukon Queen when the steamer docked at Dawson. He hurried to the most popular cafe. After eyeing the patrons, he approached two men who stood at the far end of the long lunch counter. They were hard-faced men, and their eyes were shifty.
You're looking for someone, stranger?
I'm looking for information.
Why'd you come to us? Think we look smart?
You two look like men who knew their way around.
What's that got to do with you wanting information?
I thought you might have heard of a man named Pete Hanford. He lives in Ogilvy.
Yeah, we heard.
Shut up, Curly. Why are you asking about him, stranger?
Who are you?
The name is Lennox. I just arrived on the Yukon Queen. Now, is there someplace where we might talk without a big-eared waiter listening?
There's a back room.
What makes you think we want to talk with you?
I'm ready to pay for information.
Well, what have we got to lose, Curly?
All right. Joe, is anyone in the back room?
No.
When our steaks are done, send them back there. Let's go, Baldy. Come on.
Joe, the waiter, took plates of food from the kitchen to the men in the back room. About 30 minutes later, Sergeant Preston and Constable Baker entered the cafe and sat down on high stools at the long lunch counter. They ordered tea.
Well, here's your tea, gents. How's everything at the dock?
About the same.
It took you longer than usual to look over the incoming passengers.
There was a dead man on board the Yukon Queen. That's what delayed us.
Dead man? Golly, Sergeant Preston.
An old man, Joe. Apparently dead of natural causes. Young fellow with him when he died said he'd had a bad heart for some time.
Sergeant Preston.
Oh, hello, Barton. Did you give the coroner all the information he wanted about the old man who died?
Oh, yes, sir. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you some information.
No, sit down. This is Constable Baker.
How do you do, sir? I saw you at the dock.
Glad to meet you, Barton.
Cup of tea?
Oh, no, thanks. Sergeant, I want to go to a place called Ogilvy.
Hey, you're the second gent that's asked about Ogilvy in the past hour.
I am.
Yeah, the other man inquired about Pete Hanford. He
did. What'd he look like?
A ratty sort of face and shifty eyes. Gave the name of Lennox.
Why, that sneaking double-crossing. Where is he? Where'll I find him?
He got acquainted with Curly Bender and Baldy Clark.
Fine company.
The three went into the back room to talk private.
Well, I'll deal with him.
Just a minute, Barton.
Let me go, Sergeant. That crook
Steady,
is...
Steady, we like to avoid backroom fights.
Well, he tried to murder me.
Murder?
Now he's planning some... Well, he's planning something else.
You better tell us about it. Come on, Barton. I'll go over to the corner to talk. Come on, Constable.
Right, Sergeant.
Jack Barton told of his conversation with old Jim Sullivan. He told about the legacy and the map, and how Lennox had overheard the conversation.
Now Lennox is talking to those men in the back room.
Did old Jim's brother stake that claim and register it?
No, Constable.
If he'd filed it, he'd have had to stay and work it.
That's right, Sergeant. And he wanted to return to the States and get old Jim so they could work it together.
I see your map.
Oh, of course. Here it is.
Pete Hanford doesn't know where it is?
No, he doesn't know a thing about it.
This map is worthless unless you have help from someone who knows every landmark in the vicinity.
Pete Hanford's the right man.
Put this away, Barton. As I see it, Lennox must have the map before he can hope to find the gold.
With Curly and Baldy, he probably plans to waylay Barton on the trail to Ogilvy.
Well, that's a situation easily handled. Let's go to the back room.
What's the play, Sergeant?
We'll hold Lennox in jail on Barton's complaint of attempted murder.
But it'll be my word against his. I have no proof.
That's all right. By the time he's brought up for a hearing, you'll have staked your claim. As for Curly and Baldy, we'll see. Well?
No one here.
Lennox has been here. An empty package held the kind of cigarettes he smokes.
Looks like he left with the rear door. Nowhere in sight.
Come with me, Barton. I'll ask the inspector for permission to accompany you to Ogilvy.
I'd like to go along, Sergeant.
All right, I'll tell the inspector. Meantime, Constable, see if you can find Curly and Baldy here in town.
Constable Baker learned that Lennox and his companions had left town in the direction of Ogilvy with packs on their shoulders. It was about an hour later when the two Mounties and Jack Barton were ready to start over the same trail. accompanied by Yukon King.
Sergeant, do you think we should try to pick up the trail of Baldy and Curly?
There's no charges against them. Our main purpose is to see that Barton reaches his destination safely.
They might be waiting along the trail to ambush Barton.
Yes, they might try that if Jack were traveling alone, but I doubt they'll start anything while we're with him. Furthermore, King will run ahead of us, and if those men are waiting in ambush, he'll root them out. Ready, Jack?
Yes, Sergeant.
Come on, King. Let's go, boy.
Lennox and his companions had intended to ambush Jack Barton and had taken a position behind huge boulders on a hillside. But looking at the distant valley, they saw that their intended victim was accompanied by Mounties, so they changed their plans. They hurried along the hillside, keeping out of sight behind big rocks and shrubs, until they were a couple of hundred yards from the trail. They waited there until the others had crossed the mountain and were out of sight. Then Curly broke the silence.
Come all this way for nothing. Why didn't you tell us he'd have redcoats with him?
I didn't know they'd be with him, Curly.
Now what'll we do?
Curly, there's more than one way to handle this.
We tried one way. You tell us another.
We'll just persuade Pete Hanford to work on our side. It'll be as easy as breaking through thin ice.
Would Hanford do this?
I know a way to persuade Hanford to do anything I say. Now you just leave things to me, and we'll have a gold mine.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Maybe you haven't thought of the woods and forests as being very important. Sure, they're nice to have around. They make good picnic and camping spots. But that's not the only reason we should see that fires don't burn up our forests. Every time there's a forest fire, our national defense takes a beating. Precious timber is lost. Industrial plants are put out of action. Men who could be working other defense projects must be sent to fight the blaze. And 9 out of 10 of these fires are caused by somebody's carelessness. So the next time you're around trees or rangeland, think about that. Don't build a campfire unless you have to. And if you do, be sure to drown the embers thoroughly before you leave. If you are not extra careful, you may start a fire that will end in the nation's losing valuable timber and costly man-hours. If you are careful, chances are that your favorite spot will be there the next time you want to go camping or picnicking. Follow the simple rules of forest fire prevention. Don't you be a firebug. Now to continue. Sergeant Preston, Constable Baker, Jack Barton, and King reached the town of Last Chance without seeing anything of the men who were planning to skip and jump Jack Barton's claim. After spending the night in town, they set out early and reached Ogilvy before noon. Pete Hanford lived at the far side of the town. After introduction, Sergeant Preston told about Jack's mission. Hanford nodded.
Yes, I remember Jake Sullivan. He stopped here on his way to the mountain and again on his way back. He told me he'd be returning to the Yukon with his brother. I'm sorry to hear that he couldn't live to profit by his discovery.
You think you can find the place where he found gold?
Well, I'll be able to tell you, Sergeant Preston, when I see the map.
Oh, here it is, Mr. Hanford.
Yeah.
It's very carefully drawn.
Yes, it is. Let's see. A valley here. This must be Moose Valley. One here parallel to it. A mountain peak, 3 tall trees close together, and a mass of rocks.
Do the landmarks mean anything to you?
Yes, indeed they do.
And you can find the place?
Well, Jack, I don't want to raise your hopes too high. We'll have no trouble reaching the place, but we've no assurance we'll find gold when we get there.
I've warned Jack about that.
Oh, I'm not counting on anything.
There's no reason why we can't start right away. It'll only take about an hour to reach the area.
Oh, fine.
I'll tell my daughter. Oh, Jeannie.
Be right there, Dad.
Oh, I didn't know you had a daughter.
Well, I have.
Yes, Dad?
Oh.
Come in here a minute, Jeannie. I want to introduce my new business partner.
Hanford introduced his attractive 19-year-old daughter and told the girl about the map. Preparations were made to set out in search of the gold. Meanwhile, Lennox, Curly, and Baldy watched the Hanford home from the concealment of an evergreen woods a couple of hundred yards away. The trio had followed Jack and the Mounties to Ogilvy.
Hey, look. Someone's coming from the house.
Curly, let's take those binoculars.
Here you are.
The two Mounties.
Yeah, and there's Barton. Hanford right behind him.
Someone is standing in the doorway.
That's the girl I told you about.
Four men are starting north from the cabin.
Yeah. We'll wait right here for about an hour. That'll give the men a chance to get well away from the house. Then we'll call on the girl.
Hope no one sees us.
No one's likely to. We're lucky the Hanford place is a little apart from the town.
After about an hour of waiting, Baldy led the way to the Hanford house and rapped on the door.
Now remember, let me do the talking.
Rap again. Maybe she didn't hear you.
She heard it all right.
Who is it?
You see? Miss Hanford, your dad sent us for you.
What did you say about my dad?
Well, Miss Hanford, I'm sorry to be the one who brings bad news.
What is it?
Well, it may not be as serious as the Mounties think.
Oh, tell me.
Well, it seems that your father had a fall.
Oh, no.
The three of us came by just after it happened. We offered to help. So Sergeant Preston asked us to come here at the house and get a couple of blankets.
What happened to my father? Is he conscious?
He was conscious enough to ask for you. Oh,
then I must go to him.
Is there a doctor in town?
Not in Ogilvy. The nearest doctor is at Last Chance.
Well, the sergeant didn't say anything about a doctor. He probably plans to use the blankets to make a litter. Bring your father here at the house.
Please come in. I'll get the blankets right away.
All right, boys. Should we take the blankets off this couch?
Oh, no. I'll bring some from the bedroom. And I'll be ready as soon as I change to heavier boots. I'll not be long.
She believed every word of it, Baldy.
Look around this room. See if there's anything belonging to the girl. Anything that we... Here, this'll do. This handkerchief on the table.
Here's a silk scarf.
Yes, I'll take that, too. Now we're all set.
Pete Hanford's task was simplified by the fine detail and precision of the map. He found a mountain peak where three tall trees grew close together and stood like sentinels against the sky. He found a mass of rocks and other landmarks. Finally, he paced off a number of strides and said,
"Dig right here."
Beneath a crust, the snow was soft and not too deep. Presently, the shovel struck frozen ground.
No, we'd better use the pickaxe to break that ground.
Keep as close as possible to the tree stump.
Jake probably cut the tree himself to mark this place.
I'll spade away some of the ground you've broken.
I'll help.
King, sitting nearby, saw a man coming through the valley from the direction of town. He wondered whether or not to call Preston's attention to the newcomer. Sergeant Preston paid no attention to the dog's low whimper. He was too busy with the shovel. The work progressed for some time. And then suddenly...
Wait. Hold it.
What is it, Sergeant?
Hanford, you know war. Look at this.
Well, it's it. Say.
Is it...
Jack, write out your claim notice. This is it.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, Hanford.
Who's this? What?
Baldy Clark.
What? You're a long way from home, aren't you, Baldy?
Any law against being here, Sergeant?
What do you want?
I'm here to deliver a message to Mr. Hanford. Younger gent named Barton. Is that you?
Oh, yes. But who are you?
It's mighty private. You'd both better come away from the lawman for a minute or two. It's something you'll want to hear.
Will I...
Go ahead. See what he has to say.
Very well.
Let's go over this law.
Baldy led Hanford and Jack Barton nearly 50 yards away from the place where they had been digging. It was too far for either of the Mounties to hear the conversation. While Preston and the constable waited, they deepened the hole and examined the ore more carefully to further confirm the fact that it was truly an outcropping of gold.
Probably worth a fortune.
It's too early to say that, Baker, but we may be sure it's a mighty valuable discovery.
They're returning.
About time.
Been talking for over half an hour. I wonder what Baldy had to tell those two.
Whatever it was, it's had a sobering effect.
Yeah, it sure has. Look at the expression on Baldy's face. Ever I saw a smug expression.
Well, pick up the tools and return to my place, Sergeant Preston.
What about posting your claim notice?
Well, this isn't our discovery, Sergeant.
What?
That's right, Sergeant.
I'm posting the claim notice.
You?
Mr. Clark convinced us that he has a prior right to this land.
Now, hold on. Baldy, if you have a prior right, where's your claim notice?
A little oversight, Constable. I didn't get around to posting it. That's all right. I'll post it now.
Hanford, what's behind this? Is it blackmail?
Oh, no, Sergeant. It's just that Baldy Clark convinced us that he has more right than we to stick this land.
My notice is all written out. I'll just fasten it to this tree stump.
There's something mighty mysterious about this deal. Baldy, you're not going to get away with it.
No?
Steady, Constable. If Hanford and Barton are willing to concede to Clark, there's little we can do about it.
That's right, Sergeant. Now get to town and register this claim. I'll see you again, Hanford.
Well, there goes our gold mine.
Why?
Huh?
Why did you and Hanford let him steal your claim? What did he hold over your heads?
Sergeant, there was nothing else we could do.
Hogwash. You could have told him to go jump in the creek.
What would he have done if you'd defied him?
Please, Sergeant. I don't want to discuss it.
Well, I do. Baldy Clark is a crook. He stole the gold mine from you and Barton while Constable Baker and I stood right here watching. I can't understand why you let him get away with it. Is your daughter involved?
What? Please, Sergeant.
That's it.
Are you protecting your daughter?
Well,
Have those crooks captured Jeannie?
Sergeant, there's nothing that can be done about
then
it.
Then they have captured Jeannie.
Yes.
Jake, don't say anymore.
We might as well tell the truth. Lennox and Curly are holding Jeannie a prisoner. Baldy promised that she'd be released as soon as he had filed a claim in Ogilvy.
How do you know Baldy wasn't bluffing?
He showed us Jeannie's scarf and a ribbon she wore and a handkerchief.
Baker, get to town by the shortest route. See that Baldy does not file that claim.
Right.
No, Sergeant. My daughter's left.
How do you know they'll keep their word to release her? They may kill her anyway, so she can't testify against them.
I'm on my way.
We must trust those men.
We must capture them and jail them.
You can't. Go near their hiding place, they'll see you and kill Jeannie.
King?
Preston, don't go. My daughter's
life. I'm as interested in saving her life as you are. Come on,
King. Sergeant Preston turned abruptly and set out with King along the back trail. He traveled fast and was soon at the Hanford house at the edge of town. Without pausing to rap on the door, he went inside.
Come on, King.
It took but a moment to learn that the house was empty. The Mountie went with King into the girl's bedroom. Small shoes that had been changed for hiking boots lay on the floor.
Here, boy. This is the scent to follow. All right, King, we're on our way.
After Sergeant Preston had left the scene of the gold discovery, Jack Barton and Pete Hanford gathered up the tools and started south. They traveled slowly. They had covered about two-thirds of the distance to Hanford's house and were passing a dense stand of timber when they saw Sergeant Preston and King.
He's coming this way, Hanford. What do you make of that?
What's that dog? He's following a scent.
Uh-huh.
Preston sees it.
He's holding a hand to his mouth.
Yes, doesn't want us to call out to him. I wish we could persuade him to give up trying to catch those crooks. At least until Jeannie is safe at home.
I'm glad you didn't shout.
I suppose you've been to my house.
Yes, that's where King picked up the scent. Your daughter was brought along this trail, Hanford. From this point, she was taken into the woods.
There's a hard-packed trail into the woods.
It's a sled trail to a community west of here.
King and I are going on, Hanford. You and Jack care to join us for the showdown?
Sergeant, once more I appeal to you. Don't try to catch those crooks until my daughter is safe.
Sorry, Hanford.
Those crooks are sure to see you before you can close in. They'll kill Jeannie as they threatened, and they'll shoot you.
They may be too busy to do any shooting.
What do you mean?
King's learned a lot of tricks. This may be the time to use a couple of them. Come along and see what I mean.
Deep in the woods, a small one-room cabin stood near the trail. Inside, Jeannie sat on a bench, tied hand and foot. Curly watched the girl, while Lennox kept his face turned toward a small square opening that had been cut through the wall for ventilation.
If you hadn't gotten suspicious, Jeannie, we wouldn't have had to tie her like this.
At least I know the truth. And I'm glad to know my father wasn't hurt.
Glad you take it that way.
Hey, Curly, come here a minute.
What's the matter, Lennox?
Look at that animal crawling this way. Is that a dog or a wolf?
Yeah, looks like a dog. He's hurt.
Yeah.
Now he's trying to stand. No, there he goes down again. You know, that looks something like Sergeant Preston's animal.
What's he doing here?
How do I know? He sure seems to be hurt bad.
The two men watched King inch forward, whimpering as if in pain. Nearer and nearer the big dog came until he was within 6 feet of the door. Then Curly noticed.
Something's fastened to his collar. Looks like a note.
Yeah, so it does.
I'd like to see what it is. I'm going to open that door and let the dog in.
Do you suppose Sergeant Preston is nearby?
Well, if he were, the dog would go to him, hurt as it is. You know, that dog acts like it had been poisoned.
With the door open, King tried once more to stand, but collapsed on the threshold, whimpering loudly. His ears lay back, and it seemed as though he had no strength to stand.
Now get that paper.
Curly reached for the paper fastened to the collar. At that moment, from somewhere in the dense trees, Sergeant Preston's voice rang out.
I am King!
In an instant, King changed. He leaped to his feet, fangs bared. He charged at Curly and knocked the man off balance.
Hey, call him off! Help me!
Lennox reached for his knife, but King seemed to anticipate the move. His jaws closed on the schemer's arm.
Let go! Let go!
Curly drew his gun, but Sergeant Preston was at hand.
Don't go!
Preston!
Drop that gun!
Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Got off this dog! Got him off! Take him away!
You're covered, Lennox!
Dunking! All right, boy.
I'll take that gun, Curly.
Both of you stand against that wall.
Dad! Dad!
Oh, Jeannie, are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right. Just cut these ropes.
I'll cut you loose, Miss Jeannie.
Give me your wrist, Curly. Now you, Lennox. You're under arrest for the abduction of Miss Hanford.
Are you sure they didn't hurt you, Miss Jeannie?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even tied until a little while ago. They told me Father had been injured. They were taking me to him. They brought me to this cabin and said he'd be brought here. Then I became suspicious, and I learned the truth. Oh, Jack, did they get the gold claim?
We don't know, Jack.
Jack, Constable Baker went into town to stop Baldy from filing that claim. We'll start for town directly to arrest Baldy. I'm sure you'll find that Hanford and you will be able to stake your claim.
Jeannie, I want you to know that Barton here didn't hesitate a minute about giving up his share of the claim when he thought it would save your life.
Well, Mr. Hanford, what's a gold claim compared to a girl like Jeannie?
Yeah.
Oh, Jack.
If you're ready, we'll take these prisoners to town.
I'm ready.
That dog, he acted like he was one jump ahead of death until he got inside this place.
Among other things, King's quite an actor.
I suppose that paper on his collar was just part of the act.
That's right, Curly. It's blank paper just to make you curious. Any other questions?
No.
Then this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Here's a Mutual note for you. This Sunday, rest your eyes on Mutual, where the scene is set for the nation's most popular day of rest listening in your own mind's eye of imagination. Here you can find adventure unlimited, can traverse the far reaches of the earth, or even investigate mysterious and unearthly goings-on. You'll hear tales to take you winging across space and time, stories of frankly fantastic suspense, as well as dramatic reenactments of real-life episodes. Nowhere else can you escape so completely from the familiar environment of your own daily living, to dare the dangers of faraway places, to accompany fearless and intrepid challengers of the unknown, or to live again in the glorious days of our own American past. You'll find fiction detectives, too, with intriguing crime bafflers for the whodunit fans to sharpen their wits on, as they try to outguess some of the cleverest sleuths in the business. Start this Sunday to make listening a mutual habit. You're sure to enjoy the programs heard over most of these stations. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, we've heard that Hunch Sparkman, who was wanted for several robberies, was seen in the town of Fort Albert.
Well, what about the men who work with him, sir?
We still know nothing about them.
Sparkman and his gang have been wanted for a long time.
Hunch has managed to escape capture because he always has an ace up his sleeve.
I'll do my best to bring him in, sir.
Bring in his gang with him, Sergeant.
Very well, sir.
Sergeant Preston's assignment is more difficult than he realizes. For the men in Hunch Sparkman's gang know Preston is looking for the boss. When he takes Hunch into custody, he unwittingly walks into a six-gun trap that may cost him his life. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye and good luck until Thursday. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.